Hello and welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I'm very excited today to bring you a special show themed on the arts and entertainment and how God is using people in those fields to reach out to others. We're going to be speaking with Rob Batchman, who works with the Sight and Sound Theater in Missouri and Pennsylvania, bringing to life biblical stories on the stage with incredible craftsmanship and excellence. But before we get to that, I have the privilege of introducing you to a very special gentleman I met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And I have to say, when I first saw him, I had to do a double take because he is not only a minister and a comedian and a singer, but he is also a George W. Bush impersonator. His name is John Morgan, and he travels as, quote, the face of President George W. Bush at corporate, comedic, and faith-based events around the world, bringing joy and inspiration to millions of astonished people who might otherwise never have an opportunity to have an audience with America's commander-in-chief. With a small cadre of quote-unquote Secret Service agents stationed around him, John nods his head and greets the crowd with the president's trademark Texas drawl. John's show combines his hilarious but respectful impression of President Bush with a few famous George W. faux pas blended with a mix of parody songs and finishes up with an inspiring message about hope and determination. He elicits heartfelt laughter from both sides of the political aisle. Millions have seen him on Family Feud, Headline News, Hannity and Combs, E! Entertainment Network, ABC's The View, The 700 Club, and more. John's book is called My Life as Bush and My Heart for Imitating Jesus. His website is johncmorgan.com, and it is my pleasure to welcome the Commander-in-Chief right now on Divine Intervention, John C. Morgan. John, welcome to Divine Intervention. You are on, and it is my honor to have you. Thanks for taking the time out.
Well, thank you, Daniel. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I was excited to meet you because I saw you in the exhibition hall of the NRB, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's George W. Bush, the president. What's he doing here? I was surprised, and then I found out that, you are not George W. Bush, but you're a dead ringer. So it was an honor to meet you. Tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and how did you grow up, and what was that like for you?
Well, I'm a native of Orlando, Florida, which there's only two of us, me, my wife, and myself. No, I'm just kidding.
Two natives.
Before Disney came to town, a very, very small little town, and kind of fun. I was about 12 years old, right around in there, when I heard the news that Disney was coming to Orlando, and I was like, what? My little town was going to get a Disney World? I just couldn't believe it. And
no one had heard of it before that?
Oh, well, it was Disneyland. We watched The Wonderful World of Disney on Channel 2 every Sunday night.
No, I meant no one had heard of Orlando before that.
Oh, no.
No.
But I was always the kind of kid who loved the stage, loved to entertain and make a fool of myself, you know. But I went through a great deal of rejection youth as well.
Mm.
So I had those gifts, but those gifts were squelched because of a lot of ridicule. And
I mean, like from your peers?
Yeah.
Oh. They just didn't appreciate fine humor, I guess, huh?
I guess not.
So as you grew up, tell me about your faith background.
Well, we were raised Catholic,
uh-huh.
And so we were very devout in terms of going to church faithfully every Sunday, and all of the sacraments I participated in as a youngster growing up, but I did not really have a connection with God, but a connection with ritual,
right?
Not really with God.
So how did that change and you develop a personal relationship with him?
Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, I went through a great deal of rejection. As a result of that, there was a void in my life. I filled sex, drugs, and rock and roll as a young teenager. I actually lived a double life. in that on the one hand, I was pretty miserable and lonely. On the other hand, I was the life of the party.
Mm.
I had a kind of a seedy underlife filled with pornography, illicit sex stuff, and it was just pretty bad. I didn't like myself, even as I was fairly popular. You know, by the time I got to high school, I learned how to play the games that win your friends, but I didn't feel like those friends were real, because there was this hidden sense that if they knew the real me, you know, they'd reject me. In 1970, thereabouts, my mom had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and she changed before our eyes. In our Orlando home, I had three older siblings, and we watched Mom go from the life of the party, one who drank quite a bit, and just a fun-loving mother, someone who had this deep-seated joy and, like, happiness times 10 as her relationship with Christ exploded. We just saw this whole new lady emerge.
Mm.
And she started inviting us to church, and we kind of would run the other direction. When I say church, involved in the charismatic renewal of the Catholic Church, and would visit some other local churches and Assemblies of God and some others where her new relationship with Christ could be nourished. And I would go in there and I'd sit, kind of run the opposite direction. The whole thing kind of scared me.
Yeah, it's probably very different than what you were used to.
Oh, very different, yeah. But in 1975, she invited me to a service, and I remember going in thinking I wish I could be anywhere else. But at the end of that service, there was an invitation given. Surprise, the Lord drew my heart. And they, you know, I remember before that praying, Lord, I'm not ready to give my life to you, but I really don't cherish the idea of burning in hell either.
So, good motivation.
Father, I would pray, Lord, work on my heart and to, with integrity, give my life to you. And that night, March 5th, 1975, God answered that prayer.
Wow.
And I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. What a dramatic and instant change took place. I fell in love with Christ. It was so exciting. I began sharing him with my friends, inviting them to church, and wonderful things began to ensue. But not long after that experience, I found some of my old habits drifting back into my life. And before I knew it, now as a Christian, I was again living a double life.
Mm.
It took about 5 years of learning that the scriptures teach that we can overcome sin and that we can live apart from those things to kind of work all those things out. Daniel, if I can just go on.
Sure.
The last straw, if you will, came one evening when I was in a service and the minister was on faith. And at the end of the service, he said, how many of you have something you'd like to believe God for that would require faith, require supernatural gift of God of faith? I had kind of burnt out my ability to be in love, I believe. And so when he asked that question, the thought, what about a wife, popped into my head, and I thought, yes, that's my prayer. I'd like a wife. And so at the end of the service, we all, you know, those who had a prayer stood up, and I remember writing the prayer in the back pages of my Bible and dating it. And 2 days after that prayer, I was in the youth service of our church, and sitting next to me was this beautiful blonde, but I didn't meet her. But on the other side of her, this young man came forward at the end of the night, gave his life to Christ.
Hmm, okay.
Well, 2 days after that, I was at the beach with a bunch of my Bible study friends from church, and I saw that gentleman in the lobby of the hotel, and I thought, well, how did he get here? And, you know, from all I knew, he didn't know any of my friends, and I wondered what he was doing there. But as soon as I saw him, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit, said, John, you need to reach out to that guy because he can't play volleyball. You know, when God speaks to me, it's kind of in real terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was very clear and very strong. And so I did. I reached out to David. He and I became fast friends. The second day we were there at the beach, I baptized him in the ocean.
Wow.
And that night, David introduced me to my wife.
Wow.
My beloved Kathy. Just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. That's very interesting. And, you know, I read that on your bio that your wife Kathy actually resembles Laura Bush.
You know, God has a sense of if you go on the website, you'll see a picture of the two of us.
Yeah, and you guys actually traveled together as the first couple?
Yep. No, Kathy doesn't. She's got a totally different personality than me. She does not enjoy going into character as Laura.
No, is she naturally a blonde? Is she the blonde that you met at the or that you saw at the church service?
The one and only time I asked God for a wife, and I met and absolutely fell in love with Kathy just 4 days later.
That is amazing. So I guess she was a friend of that handicapped gentleman?
She had invited him to church.
Okay.
Kathy had just come back to the Lord herself after 7 years of backsliding and kind of terrible sin. And just the timing couldn't have been more amazing.
Wow. I love how God does that and just brings people together. And it's evidence that he has a divine plan, you know. And
oh, yeah.
Even the fact that you guys resemble the first couple, I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
He knew that you were going to be doing this ministry, obviously. And speaking of that, how did you become this Bush impersonator? I understand that you were discovered, I guess, in, 2004? Is that right?
Well, yeah. Basically, what happened was, after Kathy and I got married, actually, when Kathy and I met, I was in the middle of recording my first album. And my goal was to become a contemporary Christian artist, like Stephen Curtis Chapman or one of those guys.
Right.
And I recorded two albums and did get a record deal on one of them, but I really lacked the character to manage the career.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful for a time, and Kathy and I would share our testimonies as part of each concert. And then, but then after a short while, I was really starving my young family and felt like the Lord told me to lay the career down and go back to work where I said I never would. Back in my mom and dad's appliance business, helping them run their appliance business in Orlando.
Okay.
So I remember when I laid down that ministry, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, John, don't forget, I used Moses after 40 years on the backside of the desert.
That's true.
Well, as a 20-something-year-old kid, you don't want to hear that, you know.
Another 40 years?
Yeah, I thought laying down the guitar would be, you know, okay, God wants to work on my character. Well, we'll do that for a few months. And then I'll get back out there. But, you know, every time I would pray and beg God, that my constant prayer was, oh, Lord, I fear missing your will. Please don't let me miss your will. Please don't let me miss your purpose for my life. And I strove over that for a long time. I had dear friends who I would wear out, saying, when is God going to release me back into, you know, and lament this? But it for 25 years, brother, I was back at work in my parents' appliance store. And along the way, God taught me about grace. He taught me about his ability. And, you know I did. It was like I was afraid that somehow I would miss the train.
Right.
But over the years, God taught me that, hey, he has the ability to make sure that I don't well for my life.
Right.
I'll never forget one time I was praying that prayer, Lord, please don't let me miss your will. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart, hey, John, I heard you the first time.
Well, that's good. So you know he was listening.
Yeah. But it caused me to rest.
Right.
And to just trust. And my trust level grew a great deal that day. And so I was setting up chairs. A friend had invited Kathy and I to for this guy, George Bush, the governor of Texas, running for president. Now, his brother, Jeb Bush, was the governor of Florida, our state, at the time.
Right.
But nobody knew, or at least I didn't know, what George looked like and had no clue that I looked like him. But when we were setting up those chairs for his campaign appearance in Orlando, one of his full-time staffers was the first one to say, hey, you know, you look a lot like W. So that was actually 1999.
99, okay.
And as he, of course, won the president, saying, has anybody ever told you you look a lot like George W. Bush? So, you know.
That's funny.
It might be kind of fun to do a skit or something, but it wasn't until 2003, the third year of his first term, that a friend of the family, Paula, said, John, you know, there's a industry of lookalike people who get hired for parties and things that look like, you know, Cher or, you know, Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, that was just completely weird. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's great. I might do a skit for fun, but the last thing I want to do is make a fool of myself and my family. My wife heard it, and she thought there could be something there. A few months later, she saw a gentleman impersonating President Bush on a late-night talk show, and the thought hit her, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, to a web search. And she found a couple of guys actually hiring out as George Bush impersonators, and when she saw how much they got for an appearance, she came and woke me up out of a dead sleep, off of my pajamas, and said, I just found your new career. You're going to become a George Bush impersonator. She drugged me over to the computer and showed me those two websites. And that's when I realized, wow, somebody's actually doing it.
Wow. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with John C. Morgan. He is a George W. Bush impersonator. He's also a singer, a comedian, and a minister. You can check out his website, johncmorgan.com. There's a lot of interesting things on there, some videos and some pictures and stuff. And, of course, you will notice that he is a dead ringer for the president. I'm Daniel Fazina. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. So, John, when you got discovered, how did your life change from there, and what kind of opportunities did that open up for you to not only entertain people, but to really share your faith?
Well, you know, Daniel, when I first delved into the marketplace as a George Bush impersonator, I had no clue that I had comedic timing or any of the gifts necessary to make this thing work.
Well, you did study quite a bit, you know, after you made this decision. I understand that you were...
You know, basically, here's what happened. I prayed about it. I actually fasted for 2 weeks, and I asked God. I said, Lord, okay, do you want me to become a George Bush impersonator? And it was another one of those profound times when the Holy Spirit spoke clearly into my soul and said, yes, and you'll be doing it for 5 years.
Okay.
Now, again, this was 3 years into George Bush's first term, because, you know, 5 years. You've got 1 year left in his first term and then 4 years of a second term.
Mm-hmm.
So I then knew it was his will, because he spoke to me. Again, not audibly, but clearly in my heart.
Right.
Then it became a matter, okay, now that you know he wants you to do it, are you going to obey? And that's a very important question for
sure.
Anybody who has a dream and a vision and something they believe God wants them to do. Well, I didn't want to look back 10 years later and wonder what might have been. And plus, I love the Lord, and I want to... obedience. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going for it. Once I made that decision, you know what? That's a mistake. And then I realized you can learn how to do anything on the internet. So,
Yeah.
Right. I started searching and finding out how other impersonators got started. And
yeah, because there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, you have the look, and that comes, you know, that you're born with, but there's so much more to it. What else does it entail?
Well, I had the general look, Daniel, but then I had to tweak it. I started watching him give speeches, and I would try to mimic both his voice inflections, mannerisms, and the way his face looks.
Mm-hmm.
I put pictures of him on the mirror, and then I tried to, you know, change the appearance of my own face to match his. And, you know, it's amazing. I found out that there are so many muscles in his face and actually isolate and alter. I was surprised. I think that's kind of how impersonators do it. You know, they just are able to find out the dynamic things. Like with George Bush, he always looks like he's staring into the sun. You know, he's got
squint
eyes. So I just started making those changes. And then over time, they became natural.
Mm.
Something I could do with relative ease. And then his voice, you know, he's got this kind of, you know, thing going on here.
Yep.
He's from Texas. People ask me all the time if I'm from Texas. I never tried to learn how to produce a Texas drawl. All I did was impersonate President Bush, and of course the Texas drawl came with it.
Yep. That's great. Oh, man. And this impersonation has gotten you on national TV shows like The View. You've been on Family Feud. I saw you there with the Bono impersonator. That was pretty funny. You've been on the Tony Danza show. so many things. You've even gotten to meet W himself. Tell us about, you know, what happened when you met him, and what did you say, and how did that go?
Well, it was at a campaign appearance in Orlando, and God's so good, he had me sit right in the right place so that when he came out to shake hands with folks, it was very easy to step right into the place to shake his hand. And my wife was standing next to me. We had the camera ready. And so when he got there, and of course I was wearing the suit and had the flag lapel pin on and thing. And I said, grabbed his hand and said, "Mr. President, it's an honor to be your lookalike." He just kind of looked at me and shook his head and said, "Well, I feel sorry for you."
That's funny.
And as fate would have it, he posed for a picture with me. And as soon as he snapped it, my wife looked at the back of the camera and it said memory full.
Oh, no.
So I didn't get the picture.
That's all right.
I have the audacity to ask him if he would wait a second while I deleted a picture. And knowing now what a gracious individual he is, I know he certainly would have waited. But at the time, I you know, have the guts.
Well,
still on my bucket list.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably more opportunity for you in the future. That's great. You know, I'm so happy for you that God gave you this calling. And tell us about some of your fondest memories as a Bush impersonator.
Oh, my. Well, Daniel, performing for the president's second inauguration was absolutely unforgettable. Kathy did have the wig on, and we were in character as George and Laura, riding into town from the executive airport in a limousine. We'd pull up at stoplights and kind of roll the window down halfway, you know, in the dark tinted windows, and people would stare in. We kind of wave at folks and then put the windows back up real quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People on the side were, "That was George Bush!"
And, that's funny.
You know, it was like throwing sugar on an ant pile, you know.
Oh, wow. That's a cool analogy.
Yeah, and then Kathy didn't wear the wig at the ball, but she was with me. And then, you know, wearing the tuxedo, I mean, it was like a flurry of cameras.
Were people wondering who the blonde was that George W. was with?
it was quite an amazing.
Okay.
No, and I'd like to tell you, Daniel, if you don't mind, how this whole thing turned ministry-wise.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, tell us how this, you know, this has opened the door for your ministry.
Well, you know, I got a call to perform for New Haven Records, which, as those of your listeners don't know, George Bush was born in New Haven, Connecticut, so I think that's a little aside.
Yeah, that's like 10 minutes from where I am right now.
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, too, there are a couple of other similarities. George's dad, former President H.W. Bush, and my dad were both born on June 12th.
Hmm.
And,
same year?
Born on August 6th. I mean, George W. was born on July 6th, 1946. And I was born on 1 month later, August 6th, and 10 years later, almost to the day.
Right.
And then we're both exactly 5'11 and quarters.
Interesting. Wow.
Just little, quirky little things, you know. But anyway, so New Haven, Connecticut, New Haven Records invited me up to Nashville to perform for their quarterly report for their parent company, Provident. And as a result of being up there, I met with one of their A&R guys, Vince Wilcox. Vince and I had about a three-hour interview after that performance, and in that amount of time, he and I became very fast and close friends.
Mm-hmm.
End of that time, I said, "Vince, I said, delightful talk, but I'm going to have to leave because I'm going on a cruise, and I've got to go get ready. I said, you wouldn't happen to be going out on the Christian Music boat cruise, would you?" And he goes, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am." I said, "I got to go on that cruise." Just weeks before, I had finished the book, The Faith of George W. Bush, by Stephen Mansfield, wanted to meet him, Googled him, found out he was going out on this cruise, and felt like God wanted me to meet him, so I set as an agenda to go on that cruise, but I couldn't afford it at the time. So when I met with Vince and found out he was going, I said, "Vince, can you get me on the cruise?" Well, it just so happens that Roy Morgan was the promoter that put on that cruise, a friend of Vince's. Vince called him. Vince said, "I've got this great guy," and Roy gave him permission, and so Kathy and I got to go on the cruise, and it was a Christian cruise,
mm-hmm.
So I had to create a Christian show.
Okay.
Well, being a former minister and someone who loves the church and loves to share my faith in Christ, it was so exciting to have the opportunity to turn this into something for the church. Now, I had the opportunity to do a Christian show. And so I started thinking about the analogy of an impersonator, and Ephesians 5:1 says, imitators of God, beloved children, and gave himself up as fragrant sacrifice and pleasing aroma to God. So I developed a talk around that was that accompanied my comedy and music, and it just worked very well and became an amazing opportunity for me to analogize, if that's even a word, what I do as an impersonator. We all are called to do imitators of Christ,
right?
And I make the point that when I walk into a room, it stuns people. It throws them into kind of a place of what's going on.
Right.
Did the President of the United States just walk into the room unexpectedly? But what we as Christians fail to acknowledge every day and miss out on the benefit of is that someone far greater than George W. Bush is in the room, is living in us at the very moment, and wants to live that miraculous life that Christ walked through us and in us every single day. And so that's kind of my message to the church is, folks, George Bush isn't here. Someone far greater is here, and let's not take him for granted. Let's not fail to acknowledge him. Let's not fail to rise to the occasion of sons and daughters in this present age. How is it that we're called to be his hands and his feet? And what is the awesome privilege and opportunity that we miss by simply failing to acknowledge it?
I love that we are to be imitators of God. John C. Morgan, that's awesome. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out on Divine Intervention to share about your ministry and your faith. And just real quick, if there's someone listening right now who may be struggling with doubt about God or Jesus, what would you want to say to them?
Here's what I would say to you, my friend. You might say, how do you know that you know Jesus? I know him because he's my friend. You have people in your life that you know. You know that you know them. They may not be in front of you right now, but you don't doubt the relationship that you've had with them over the years. Though your eyes don't see them right now, you know that they are your friend. In the same way, my eyes don't see Jesus, but I have a relationship with him that is very, very real, very intimate and close, and very profound. And that is exactly what God calls us to. John 10:10 says, thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but Christ's life, have it to the full. You see, friend, God loves you so much. God's goal is to cause you to live a life that is full and abundant and is ultimately satisfying.
Amen. Thank you so much. John C. Morgan, check him out online, johncmorgan.com. He's got all of his videos there, and you will see he is a dead ringer for the president. He's a presidential impersonator of George W. Bush, but more than that, he's a man of God and a minister. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome, Daniel. God bless you.
Thank you. Coming up, you're going to be treated to the awesome story of how God is using the Sight and Sound Theater to bring biblical stories to life on the stage, next on Divine Intervention.
So I go to the private airport, and there is President Bush. Now, I had just finished doing this interview, and I was amazed. So I sort of walked up to say, how did you like to do the interview? This man was a George Bush lookalike. I mean,
the real president.
Hi, everybody. I'm out here on 67th Street on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and such a neighborhood. You know, you never know who might walk by. You know, it's an interesting thing about this place. Holy mackerel, look at this.
Well,
it's the President of the United States, George Bush. Hello, Mr. President.
Tony Dazzle. Hey, who's the boss?
Oh, well, you're the boss, Mr. President.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, who's the boss?
Dick Cheney?
Where?
Oh. I'm Tony Danza. This is the President. We're live from New York City.
Yeah.
It's the Tony Danza Show.
So I'll just say, way to go, amigos. That's right. I speak Mexican. Feliz Navidad. My llama is Jorge Bush. And to my visionary friends here tonight, mi casa is su casa.
Here's one about Laura. Well, I'm a Laura lover. That lovely lady stays on my mind. Well, I'm a Laura lover. That lovely lady stays on my mind. That was the president doing the king. Well, I'm so glad I got her life on my own now. Sweet child, won't be no child left behind now. Seems how lady, babe, got a bad case of red, white, and blue. Thank you, and God bless America.
You take the word and you kind of break it into its subtotals. Like that word, you take it and you say new. And then you say clear. Folks, if you'd help me out, the folks on this side, would you do me a favor? Say new.
New.
Thank you. And you folks say clear.
Clear.
Good. Let's try it again. New. Clear. New. Clear. New. Clear. See there? Nuclear.
Okay, I see.
For 5 minutes, I thought this was the President of the United States. My heart was jumping out of my chest.
God bless the United States of America!
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies featured on my talk show, I've also written a book series containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com. That's www.DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
Hey, this is Danny Johnson, ABC Secret Millionaire, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Divine Intervention is supported by Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems. Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Grease Car kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
I wanna hold your hand.
Hi, this is Ken Mansfield, former U.S. manager of the Beatles' Apple Records, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Have you heard the story about the terrifying dragon created by God?
Dragons, just the word conjures up all these images.
They look like big reptiles with long tails, with scales, sharp teeth, claws.
They're carnivorous and they're basically going to gnaw your face off.
Could actually be stories about what we today call dinosaurs.
Marco Polo is writing about dragons. Alexander the Great is talking about his giant lizard.
How did the people who carved that stone 800 years ago have carved a stegosaur?
Where in the world did all those images come from?
Do you believe in dragons or dinosaurs?
Try to explain away human encounters with creatures which we would call dragons.
Creation or evolution?
Clearly, science has shown this dinosaur died out very recently.
This is one of the greatest paleontological discoveries ever.
Man or God?
Confirms the Bible's history that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time.
Cloud 10 Pictures proudly presents Dragons or Dinosaurs, DVD and book. Ask for it at fine Christian retailers everywhere.
Hey folks, this is W, a.k.a. John Morgan, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. On this episode of Divine Intervention, we've been speaking about the arts and how God is using the arts to draw people to himself and change lives. And I have the opportunity right now to speak to you about a very special theater presentation. We're going to be speaking with Rob Batchman, and he is the sales manager with Sight and Sound Theaters. Sight and Sound Theater is the largest Christian theater in America. They bring biblical stories to life on such a grand scale that it rivals Broadway and Hollywood. It's an amazing place, and I highly recommend you checking them out. My home church in Long Island, Grace Lutheran Church, sends a bus there every year to check out their shows. They've had shows like The Story of Joseph, Noah, and they're just starting Jonah, the prophet who ran from God and was swallowed by a great fish. Now, I want you to imagine going into a theater where the set is 3 to 4 stories high, and you're surrounded by the set. It actually wraps around you, and there are beautiful, vibrant colors on the set, incredible music, even live animals, that's right, live animals and actors there, and they really bring a quality production that brings the biblical story to life. Words simply do not do it justice, so do yourself a favor and check out some of the pictures online at sight-sound.com, sight-sound.com. Now, as I mentioned, I have the honor of introducing you to Rob Batchman, who is the sales manager with Sight and Sound Theaters. He's going to be sharing a little bit about the theater itself and how it came to be, some of the amazing divine intervention stories that happened to bring it about. And Rob has a couple of cool divine intervention stories of his own that he's going to share as well. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Rob Batchman right now on Divine Intervention. Rob, I want to thank you for joining us on Divine Intervention to share some of the amazing things that God is doing through you and through Sight and Sound. Why don't we start off with a little bit about you and your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a follower of Jesus.
Well, I'm actually from Central Kansas, and when I say Central Kansas, in the Midwest, in a small town called Lincoln, Kansas. So grew up there and ended up going to college at Kansas State University, and there, through working at a fast food restaurant, one of the gals I work with was a college student along with me, and she was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ. And for months, she asked me to come to Campus Crusade for Christ meetings, come to the crusade meetings, you know. At that time, I wasn't a believer. I was living the secular, the college life, you know, and the partying and everything, and really didn't have a concept of who God was. I knew about God, had been to Sunday school, but I didn't have a relationship with God. And through her insistence, eventually I began to go to the Campus Crusade meetings. And after about a month, I got dramatically changed and saved, and just they got me involved in a personal Bible study. And that organization, because of their follow-up with me, their persistence with me, changed my entire life.
So when you started reading the Bible, it actually clicked and made sense for you a little bit?
Oh, yes. In fact, it's kind of funny. Not really understanding church things, and I would go home after the Campus Crusade for Christ meetings, turn out all the lights and light a candle in my little apartment room, and pray the prayer that they gave me, and thinking an angel would appear, Jesus would appear, or something, you know. Of course, that didn't happen on the outside, but on the inside, what I didn't realize is the changes that were taking place. And as I began to learn, I began to get very, very hungry, and began to attend church there, and reading the Bible and studying and being mentored, and even got to the place where I would stand outside the grocery store and say, well, Jesus would want me to help old ladies carry groceries, so I'd help old ladies carry groceries, and I'd stop on the side of the highway and pick up trash because I said, Jesus would want me to do this.
That's great.
And just I developed a real hunger for Christ at that point.
That's great. That's wonderful. So now, how did you get involved with Sight and Sound? This is an amazing ministry. So tell us a little bit about it and how you got involved.
So, you're so right. Sight and Sound is an amazing ministry. And we have a location in Branson, Missouri that opened up in 2008. And here about 2 years ago, they were needing a position of a sales manager. And I had interviewed for the position and got the position. I've got a background in radio and sales and telemarketing. And so it just became a natural fit. But even more than that, it was a God fit.
Okay.
And So I was able to get involved with the business, with the theater, and my first experience in sales within the theater industry. In Branson, we've got probably 50 theaters and over 100 music shows, so a lot of competition out there.
But Sight and Sound is a little different. It's a unique theater.
Exactly, right. You are so right. I'll kind of back up and tell you a little bit about the history of Sight and Sound. Glenn and Shirley Eshelman began Sight and Sound by showing photographs, his nature photography, to people via slide, if you remember the old slide projectors,
sure.
Showing those in a high school auditorium in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they began by showing those pictures to small groups of people. Glenn loved to take pictures and used photography and took those pictures. And eventually they had a big enough crowd that he took his daughters and had them put on outfits and do some acting and some music along with those photographs. And it began to grow, and God began to put a desire in Glenn's heart, you know, to really, how can I use photography and music and drama to get across God's word and God's mm-hmm. message. So he began writing a few little scripts and a few little productions over Easter, and that began to grow and grow and grow. And there was at one point where he was with his daughter one day and was walking through one of his barns, and the idea came about Noah and what it would have been like in the ark, you know, with all the hay and all the animals and how would they handle it. And that night he went home, stayed up all night, and began to draft the story of Noah the musical.
Hmm.
And from that point, as he began to produce this and put this together, the ministry grew to the point where it is now. And
where is it now?
Well, it is such an amazing story. You know, our purpose is to dramatize and to bring the Bible to life
right.
on stage. That's our purpose. That's the why we're here, to bring the Bible to life in the arts in a format that you actually feel like you're part of the musical. And we've done that by creating two theaters, one in Branson, Missouri, that opened in 2008, and the other in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Right.
These theaters have a wraparound stage. And what I mean by that is the audience sits in the middle, and the stage wraps around you, so it's on three sides of you. It's actually the largest stage in the world, about 27,000 square foot.
Wow.
And to describe that, that's enough to put 2,000 square foot homes on.
My goodness.
That's how big, yes, even with a small yard.
Yeah.
So, but what's happened is we've taken drama and brought it to the point where you have the large wraparound stage. We've added live animals.
Mm-hmm.
The sets are from 3 to 4 stories tall, 40 to 50 professional actors from all over the world, and we've put this together to bring these stories to life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my church group from Long Island, New York, Grace Lutheran, they send a bus there every year to Pennsylvania. My parents went several times. They rave about it. They love it. And they said it's just one of the most amazing productions you'll ever see. It's beyond Broadway. So just to hear the amount of work that goes into it, the size of the production, the scale, live animals, I mean, it's really a sight to behold.
God has really, really blessed this ministry in such a way that this year we projected in the Lancaster Theater alone, we will do 600,000 to 700,000 folks will come through those doors
wow.
to see these shows. And a neat thing is, in every show, not only do we show the story of Joseph or Jonah and the whale or Noah or Daniel, but throughout that entire script that is written, God's message just pertains through that in real life scenarios, but the biblical message, it comes across, and we dig out the emotions of the characters involved and how they may have felt and how they reacted to those feelings. But it all points back to the cross, and that's what is important, to the cross. And after every show, we have an opportunity where we actually have our ushers come down front and ask the audience if they have any prayer requests, and they're free to come forward and have prayers, you know, prayed over them. And we have had miracles happen. People's lives have been changed, salvations, just an amazing set of things happen in that theater. But there is no doubt, no doubt at all, when you walk out of that theater, the message of who Christ is and how great and graceful and loving God is, that message sticks with you individually.
That is awesome. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. We're sitting down with Rob Batchman from Sight and Sound Theaters. Rob, why don't you give out the website and contact information if anyone would like to get in touch and go see one of the shows.
We're at sight-sound.com, and that's S-I-G-H-T and -sound.com. You can go directly to our website. You can even see videos and previews of our show. You can listen to music. You can see, get all the information on directions, ticket cost, our schedule. Everything's right there at the website.
Okay. What's one of your fondest memories of working at this fine organization?
Well, the structure within the organization is it's very well set up for success. And, of course, we're a faith-based organization, so you're working with people of faith every day. And, you know, we have a standard that we go by that holds us to high competence and high character, which makes a difference in who we all are working for this purpose. And kind of interesting, we did the story of Joseph the last 2 years in our Lancaster Theater, and here on April 14th, it opens up in Branson. And the story of Joseph, of course, we all know Joseph gets sold into slavery by his brothers and goes into Egypt and works for Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, and he eventually goes to the prison, and then eventually from there he comes up to be second in command of all of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this story, we bring out the power of true forgiveness and the struggle that Joseph really had, not only forgiveness of his brothers, but some things that may have happened between him and his father, and how to really deal with this, because Joseph at some point didn't want to go back to Israel. You know,
right.
He wanted to forget what had happened to him and how mean his brothers had been. But we bring that story out, and we had a situation where a gentleman came to the theater by himself and saw the show, and when he was done with the show, he, for a couple weeks, just let it just work in his heart. And what had happened is 50 years prior, he'd run away from home when he was 18 years old. Hadn't seen his parents, hadn't seen his sister since. Well, his parents had passed away, but he got in touch with his sister after 50 years.
Wow.
Contacted her, had her bring her family to the theater, meet his family, and after 50 years, that family was reunited.
Praise God.
Stories like that happen all the time, and that's the purpose for Sight and Sound, to change lives.
That is awesome.
And Rob, you had mentioned that you've had many miracle stories of your own, and one involved your mother, who was miraculously healed of a chronic condition. Why don't you tell us that story?
Yeah, kind of an interesting. My mother had all her life had cluster headaches, okay, which are like a form of migraine headaches, but very, very, very intense headaches. Would come on her, started when she was about 14 years old, and would almost paralyze her, and all kinds of problems they caused. You know, this was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and as a kid growing up, when these would come on, I mean, screaming, painkillers would not help. There was nothing they could do. We had her in all kinds of hospitals, and the heat would set them on. And so she, in the summer, we lived in central Kansas, she couldn't go outside all summer long because just a triggering of heat could set one off, and miserable, and she would be sick for a couple of days, but miserable pain. She'd see things, you know, almost be paralyzed for a couple hours while these headaches came on. And again, they'd happened her whole life. Well, my grandfather watched Christian Broadcasting Network with Pat Robertson,
mm-hmm.
and Ben Kinslow was the African-American gentleman there who was on with Pat Robertson, and my grandpa watched that faithfully for 20 years or how long, and he decided one day, my mom was probably 35, and she just had another set of these headaches, and just, there was no hope, and we'd gone everywhere, the hospitals, and he wrote a letter to Pat Robertson, and so about a month and a half later, Ben Kinslow opened up that letter and read it on television and said, you know, we've got a young lady from Lincoln, Kansas who has a problem with cluster headaches, and we're just going to pray that God heals us. And he prayed on the air. From that moment on, My mom never had another one.
Wow.
Completely healed.
And what year was that?
This had to be in the 80s.
In the 80s,
in
wow.
In the 80s. Never had another one.
That is awesome.
So God heals, whether it be a TV, whether it be a trying to put your key in a lock, whatever, God does miracles.
That is true. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks, Dan.
Wow. Once again, Rob Batchman from Sight and Sound Theaters. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share on Divine Intervention. Why don't you give out the contact information again, and hopefully some of our listeners will go out and check out some plays.
We would love to have them with the story of Jonah in the Well this year
okay. In
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. It's a one-year showing, and I can promise you it's a well of a story. So they can reach us at sight-sound.com. All our contact information, mailing address, phone numbers, everything's right there, sight-sound.com.
Okay. I wish you all the best and continued success with Sight and Sound. Once again, Rob Batchman, Sight and Sound Theaters. Go check them out. Jonah and the Whale Story, opening soon in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dan.
All right.
That brings our show to a close. I hope you have been encouraged by this episode, knowing that God is using the arts, redeeming it, and changing lives through people who are dedicated to Him working in the arts. And if that's you, if you're a creative person, whether an artist or an actor or a musician, God can use your talent. You just offer it to Him and use it for His glory, and He will use that gift that He has given you for His glory to draw people to Himself, to change lives, and in turn change the world one heart at a time. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and you have been listening to Divine Intervention Radio. God willing, I will see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope you have been inspired by the many miracle testimonies we have featured and that your faith has increased. Jesus is alive and He is still working wonders among His people today. More information about the Divine Intervention Show, free downloads and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. That's www.divineinterventionradio.com.